impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what you
need to know. Fourth quarter of the program begins right now as we finish strong. Thank you. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you. Can we get one of those? Any chance? Can you go like, there it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Fourth quarter, finishing strong. Everybody's doing it. It's taking over. It's taking over the world is what it's doing. It's at least taking over Jay Rieger and company. Distillery, a great spot for you to come down. Of course, they got the big watch party coming up on Sunday. You know, they're the home of the Red Kingdom Vodka, the official vodka of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, hosting the official Chiefs watch party. Food and drink specials. Rumble, with the drums from the Chiefs. Casey Wolf going to be on site as well. That means hijinks, Curtis. That's what that means.
I like
Jay Rieger and Company merchandise products are going to be raffled off during each quarter. Just $15 for your ticket, and that ticket comes with a token good for any Jay Rieger and Company cocktail. You're going to get a great fridge here with a bunch of the cocktails already pre-mixed. I'm going home with one of those on my way out. Curtis, there's one, God, what is it called, a horse feather, I think? You would probably like, because you're a Moscow Mule guy. It's like a Moscow Mule, but it's with whiskey instead of vodka and lemon instead of lime.
I'm down
lemon
with that.
Lemon juice instead of lime juice. So I might grab some of that for the next time you're over at the house, because I know you're a Moscow Mule guy. So we'll get you some of that. But it is a great time. And don't forget, they got happy hour Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Happy hour going on right now. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they're going to be raffling off Jay Rieger merchandise as well as Chiefs gear as well. So come on down for a little happy hour here. 2700 Gwinnett Ave there, truly right in the center of town. It only took me a little over 20 minutes to get here from 123rd and State Line. So whether you come from the south or the north or the east, to the west, they're right here in the middle. It is a beautiful, spectacular building, basically four restaurants in it as well. So come on out and check it out. Let's start with a little Chiefs news here on our Need to Know. Oh, by the way, Need to Know, I Need to Tell You is by brought to you by our buddy Gary Joslin at Joslin's Jewelry. Don't forget, Valentine's Day, just a week and a day away, 95th and Antioch. Gary Joslin's been there for 40-plus years. Incredible selection of Valentine's gifts. You want to get engaged this time of year? Engagement rings? Nobody has a better selection than Gary Joslin. He's the best. Great KC guy, born and raised here in Kansas City. 40-plus years giving Kansas City the best jewelry. Proud to be a mom-and-pop jeweler right here in Kansas City. 95th and Antioch, online at joslinsjewelry.com. Chiefs news today is where we start. Chiefs in Arizona. They arrived last night at 6 p.m. Today, they placed Mecole Hardman on the IR, so he will not be able to play in the Super Bowl. Very disappointing for him. However, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been activated. He has not played since week 11 at the Chargers. I watched that Chiefs-Eagles game from last year, week four, I think it was, and the Chiefs had kind of stumbled into that game. I think they were 1-2 coming into that game. I think the Eagles were 1-2, and they were all excited, thought they had a chance. 100-plus yards on the ground from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If they're going to pound the rock, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was very effective against this Eagles defense last year. So no Mecole Hardman, that hurts, but they do get Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The running back position gets deeper in this game. Let's hear a little bit of the news out of Denver. Sean Payton announced today as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. He was asked today why he wanted to come back.
Someone's going to ask the question, why'd you get back in, Coach? And so maybe I can answer that right now. Skyline, when you work only Sundays in the Fox studio, and then you have Monday through Saturday, there's a point at which she looked at me and said, when are you getting back to work, buddy? So we all kind of live with this idea of we're going to work to this golden spot, and then we're going to retire, and it's going to be wonderful, and we're sold that on TV a lot. And my prior owner, the late Mr. Benson, used to tell me how overrated retirement was. And I kind of feel where he was coming from a little bit after just 1 year of whatever that was.
So he got bored.
He got bored. What else did we learn?
That his wife's name is Skyline.
Okay, that's news to me.
She's 21 years younger than him. He did well.
I think the thing we learned most of all that's of note to us is that broadcasting is not really working.
Yes.
I might be hoping this because it's just looking at it through Chiefs colored glasses, but it sounded to me like, you know, this wasn't necessarily an ideal job for him. He just wanted any job.
Yeah.
He wasn't holding out for the right one, just anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I needed the work, man. I needed a gig. This was a problem. So Sean Payton back in the NFL. A little bit of NFL news for you. A.J. Green announcing his retirement after 11 years, seven-time Pro Bowler, number 4 overall pick in the 11 draft. He, of course, drafted by the Bengals, finished up with the Cardinals. The Saints have hired former Browns defensive coordinator Joe Woods to the same position. Woods was fired earlier this offseason after a bad 22, but the Saints said, hey, one man's trash, another man's treasure. Brian Flores has been hired to become the next defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, the got a lawsuit going against the NFL, but he will be the Vikings coordinator. So he was a special assistant this past year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I got to get my checkbook out. I owe Curtis. I didn't love this bet, but just for the sake of it, I owe him $10. Today, Tom Brady announced his retirement, or he did announce his retirement on February 1st. Today, he announced that he's not going to begin his broadcasting career at Fox until 24. I wasn't even close. I had him starting in the Super Bowl and getting it done this year. Instead, no, he's going to sit out the whole 23 season. It'll be 24 when he begins his broadcasting career. All right, let's take a break. We're live at Jay Rieger and Company. When we come back, we talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Trent Green is next.
He did something no quarterback will ever do again. Get drafted in the 8th round. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler and has as many rushing touchdowns as Joe Delaney. Look it up. It's true. It's time to go from the gun with Trent Green.
The most talented man I've ever met.
On the program.
Presented by Ascendist Hair Restoration. Get your hair back using state-of-the-art robotic hair transplant technology from Ascendist. Book your free consultation at Kansas City Hair Transplant.
Welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you live at the J. Rieger & Company Distillery, 2700 Gwinnett Ave. Great, great place right here in the historic Electric Park District. Basically four restaurants in one. Of course, the distillery here, the tasting room. It is fantastic if you're an aficionado of the whiskey, of the vodka. You're going to love it. Great KC Company. Come on down and check it out. And, of course, coming up on Sunday, the official Chiefs watch party is going to be right here. Food and drink specials. The Rumble's going to be playing. Casey Wolf will be on site. There'll be J. Rieger & Company merchandise and products being raffled off during the game. Watch party begins at 4. $15 cover gets you a welcome cocktail token. Good for any J. Rieger & Company cocktail. First come, first serve on seating, so you might want to come down here and pick out your perfect spot, but great, great spot here in Kansas City and one of the iconic locations in Kansas City. So much history. Beautiful building. All the different venues. Absolutely fantastic. And don't forget, happy hour going on this week. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6. The happy hour menu at J. Rieger offers great food and drink specials. Plus, they're going to be giving away J. Rieger merchandise as well as Chiefs merchandise as well. Let's talk to Trent Green now. Of course, from CBS Sports. Does a fantastic job as the color analyst. Also hear him on Westwood One. And wanted no part of making a prediction last week on this game. We'll see if he's a little more up for it this week. Trent, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I don't know if I'm in any better position today than I was last Monday to make a prediction. I want to see Patrick run around. I want to see Jalen Hurts throw. I want to see, you know, if Juju's practicing. I want to see if Kadarius is right. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of pieces, but I'm sure at the end of this, we're going to come up with something.
Yes, we'll throw a dart and see if it sticks.
That's right.
When it's all
That's
said right. and done. Listen, you know, Philadelphia last year did a fine job, Nick Sirianni, of turning the team around. I went back and watched that Chiefs-Eagles game, and, you know, it's largely the same team. Now, A.J. Brown's not there. That's a giant addition. There's that whole season of experience or whatever. I think they played in week 4, so maybe 13 more games plus a playoff game, 14 more games of experience for Jalen Hurts. So I'm not trying to say they're the same team that the Chiefs handled somewhat easily last time. But there are a lot of, you know, similar parts. How much better? Because one of the knocks against the Eagles is their schedule. And, you know, Eric Eager, Mr. Football Analytics, said it's the 31st toughest schedule, right? Going beyond just wins and losses. So that make it the second easiest schedule. Is it, you know, and I pointed out, well, the 99 Rams played the easiest schedule in football and they won the championship, right? It didn't end up being that they weren't a good team. They won the championship. The Eagles are here. They only got to win one game. But how much better? I mean, can one team get in 1 year?
So because you know Coach Vermeil and you know how he likes stats and numbers and always backs it up, he always used to say, you know, the two biggest factors in if a team, you know, has a winning record and is able to make it into the playoffs, and then ultimately if you're able to get home field advantage and work your way through. He said, number one, it's about health, right? You have to have a healthy roster. You've got to get guys through. You know, you can't have, not everybody can have, you know, great depth. So it's staying healthy. And then he always would come back to strength of schedule. He would say, you know what? You play the schedule you play. You got to keep losing teams losing, and you got to be above 500 against winning teams. And he's like, if you break your schedule down, that's, you know, that's what you should have and that's what you should do. So, it's always interesting when you look at strength of schedule. I go back to the beginning of the year with the Chiefs. And remember how when the schedule came out, and you and I talked about this at the beginning of the year, it's like, man, if the Chiefs can get through the first half of this schedule, if you look at the gauntlet of teams this team has to play at the beginning, and it's just, it's going to be, you know, if they can get through 500 and get themselves, but then every year is different. All the teams unfold differently. The teams that you think are going to be really good aren't. Another, I mean, it's just, it's always interesting, and why the NFL is the top of everything, because they market it so well from, you know, what we're talking about this week is the Super Bowl to next thing you know, it's the, you know, the draft preparation and then, oh, the schedule release and then the mini camp and the, oh, now free agency or, you know, I skipped over the free agency period, which is even bigger than any of it. You know, it's just they timed it out. So it's a year round, marketing bonanza for the NFL. You know, getting back to your original question about what type of team is Philly, it's they have done a lot. I know AJ Brown is the big piece that gets talked about quite a bit. Devontae Smith, obviously, with the draft pick, is having an impact. The two of them. You look at Hassan Reddick. He was a first round pick of the Cardinals, barely even played down there, bet on himself by going to Carolina, had a really good year in Carolina, bet on himself again, and, signed with Philly and has put up, you know, career numbers for him. So that has really paid off. The fact that they went out and got Bradbury, the free agent from the Giants ended up releasing him. So they brought in a corner that bet on himself, did a 1 year deal. He's going to get paid by somebody, whether it's Philly or not, or he may have already signed. I don't keep tabs on all their re-signings and what they got going, but Bradbury was a big signing for him. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I thought that was a big signing, big trade during the year to go and get him when they had some issues at safety, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson wasn't able to he wanted to re-sign down with New Orleans and wasn't able to get that contract done, so New Orleans was like, well, let's take a couple of draft picks and, you know, move on from it because we can't get that settled. They went out and got Ndamukong Suh late in the year, which Ndamukong Suh is not Ndamukong Suh that, you know, came out of Nebraska or who he was, you know, 10 years or a year ago or even 5 years ago. But if you can get, you know, 20, 25 snaps out of him, he's still a beast. And we saw that, you know, in the NFC Championship game against the way he was able to handle things with the 49ers. So he's still a great, great player. Just not going to get as many snaps out of them as you normally would. So they have added some pieces. They are a better football team than they were a year ago. And I just think they've been incredibly fortunate to stay healthy at a number of spots. They've made some good moves from a free agency standpoint, a trade standpoint. But I do think it is a different team than what the Chiefs faced a year ago.
Yeah, and certainly a lot more confident. They're not learning each other.
Oh yeah, they've got that swagger. They definitely got that swagger. But so do the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs walk into every game thinking, you know, like they should, that they're the best team on the field. So you're gonna get two very confident teams coming on the field.
I remember a game. It would have been 2004. I think you guys were 1-3, 1-4. That was the disappointing follow-up year to the great 2003 year. And you went to Baltimore on the Sunday or Monday night. That was the Ray Lewis being mic'd up and Brian Waters and Will Shields pummeling him all night. But they had all they had all that swagger as well. And again, you guys were kind of stumbling coming out of the gates, right? You hadn't found yourself yet and really wouldn't, throughout the course of the year. But on that night, you put it all together. How do you take the swagger away from Philadelphia? How do you put it in their mind? here we go again. This one's starting to look like it did last year, which ended 42-30, but was really 42-23 when an, oh, by the way, touchdown with 4 seconds left made the margin look a little bit more respectable. What do you do to knock some of that swagger out and get them to start questioning themselves?
Well, the old school mentality would be, you know, you gotta, you know, I remember coaches saying this all the time. You gotta punch him in the mouth, right? What do you do to a bully, right? You walk up to the bully and you gotta punch him in the mouth. You gotta be more physical. You gotta take the game to them and wear them out and get some of that swagger out of them. And I remember that game specifically, the 0-4 Baltimore game, you know, that we're talking about. That was the approach. We're like, we're going to go up here and we're going to take it to them. Because as you said, they had, you know, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Adelius Thomas. And, you know, they had a bunch of studs across that defense. And, you know, we had a pretty prideful group with that offensive line. And Priest was healthy at that point in time in the 04 season. So, yeah, we went up there and that was kind of the mindset. I don't know if that's still, you know, in today's football, and especially with what the Chiefs, obviously the Chiefs want to be physical. They're going to go up there. They're going to talk about being physical. Andy Heck, offensive line coach, is going to talk to his guys about being physical. They're going to want to do that. But I don't know if that's the best thing for this offense to do, because that's not necessarily, you know, what they do, where they say, hey, we're going to, you know, throw the ball, you know, 20 times and we're going to run the ball. We're going to get physical with them. We're going to go double tight ends and we're going to, you know, it's just a different era of football. So I think the mindset and the message that you send to the players is, hey, we need to get up there and be physical. And you can be physical in special teams. You can be physical in the pass game, in your pass pros. When you go to chip the edge, you know, chip them with some physicality. Don't just lightly chip them. Make sure you chip them. You know, when you get the ball in the open field, the other receivers need to block downfield, which is something the Chiefs do great because they have great yards after catch and the guys respond to each other very well. So there is a way to be physical without going that double tight end at a fullback, you know, hey, let's go downhill and run the ball 40 times. So, I think that's the mindset you have to have when you have a team, like the Eagles, when you have a head coach like Nick Sirianni, and the way that they've kind of built this team around the personality of what is Philadelphia. I think that you're going to have to come out, and this is going to be a very physical football game.
For sure. And if you decided that you said, hey, okay, listen up, we they're tremendous on the pass rush. Patrick's immobile. Andrew Wiley has done a hell of a job, certainly for his cost against the cap, has been a great value for the Kansas City Chiefs. Orlando Brown is a quality tackle, but gets beat by speed guys, and they got a hell of a pass rush. So we got to go punch them in the mouth. We got to do exactly what you said. That's not their personality, right? They do it. They do it with Isaiah Pacheco. He's kind of a one man band of, you know, 12 times a game, he punches somebody in the mouth. That's about how many touches feels like to me usually gets, you know, when he had 95 against the Jags, it was 12 for 95. You know, how much can you evolve in even 2 weeks? If that's what you decide we need to do, how much? Because they struggle on third and one. They struggle on fourth and one just to get a yard, right? That like, let's bulldoze some people. Does it, you know, they can do it sometimes, and they look like they've got the personnel to do it. Orlando Brown, Creed Humphrey, you know, Trey Smith, big physical guys. Even Andrew Wiley is more of a nasty type of offensive lineman, and Joe Tooney's one of the best guards in football. Seems like you got to be able to play bully ball if you wanted to, but how hard would that be for Andy Reid to say, okay, look, Blake Bell's in on almost every snap. We're going two tight ends. I'm even going to bring some fullback in here. We're going to hammer away at the run. Is that something you can do, or are you just is that a fool's errand?
I don't agree with that. Then you're going away from what your skill set is as a team. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. Our skill set that we had in my era, you know, it was a physical downhill Jason Dunn. And guess what? Then we're going to play action pass you. We weren't real. I mean, we did some spread. You know, we would go three wides and put Gonzalez out in the slot or single him on one side, did some of that. But we were at our best when we could be physical, run the football, go downhill, get the play action pass. You know, you and I have joked over and over, how many times we saw the play action pass with Eddie Kinnison open in the middle of field or Gonzalez going down the field. It's like you can get those guys to buy up when you're running the football. So I don't think that's the mindset that you go to just with the way this team is built, right? I think you talk about the edges and the way that Philly wants to come up off the edges and how the Chiefs are more physical in the inside part of the line. Now, Philly is very physical with their interior defensive line as well. So that's going to be a great challenge, you know, between Tooney, Trey Smith, and Creed Humphrey with the interior part of what the Eagles have. So that's going to be one of the biggest battles of the day. That's going to be all out slugfest in there. And that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You have to remember, you know, with Jet McKinnon and Travis Kelce, some of those inside screens, like if they want to, you know, pin their ears back and just come flying upfield to try and get around the edges, to get around Orlando Brown and Wiley on the edges, then those little slip screens on the inside, that's where you can get some, you can get some secret yardage. And, you know, McKinnon's had such great success in the screen game. You may have to sprinkle in some Pacheco into the screen game just because, you know, obviously the alarm bells for Philly is going to be out when McKinnon comes on the field because of how good of a receiver he is that, you know, it's going to make him that much more aware of it. You can keep Kelce in the pass protect sometimes just to kind of throw him off and change things up. And then that's when you get that little tight end screen in the middle that we've seen him have some success with. So there's ways that you can attack that, you know, and even with the draws, if you're worried about the outside pass rush. So there are ways. You just kind of got to change it up from a personnel group, from a formation standpoint. And, you know, that's the art of play calling is just trying to keep the defense off balance.
We're talking to Trent Green here in the program, looking forward to the Super Bowl and how it's going to play out. The Jalen Hurts option stuff, whether it's, you know, show the draw, pull it out, throw, whether it's come down the line, pitch it, you know, they do it a lot, and they're willing to run him. And we've seen him grimacing throughout the playoffs. It's clear the shoulder is not healthy, but he's still willing to run it. Not as much as maybe they were earlier in the year, and he's maybe running a little more protective, a little more safely. How much?
Yeah, I was going to say that's it.
Yeah,
he's definitely running more safe. Yeah.
How much pressure does that put on the Chiefs, and how much are the Eagles at maybe at a disadvantage because the Chiefs do get the extra week to try to prepare for that?
You know, I think it's just like Patrick, right? I think Jalen getting that extra time to rehab, to try and strengthen it up, to get some range of motion. I think all those things are a benefit. You know, more time for the medication to work in, you know, anti-inflammatories, whatever it may be that they're on. You know, I think all those things are positives for both quarterbacks. I think that, you look at what he's done since he's come back. I mean, I think the one game he threw for maybe 140, 150 yards, the other game he threw for 120 because they haven't needed to. So I think that's going to be a big component of it is if the Chiefs, I think there's two ways to approach it. If the Chiefs can score early and make it to where, okay, we're going to have to change some things up offensively because Philly's going to want to run the ball. And if the Chiefs can get a lead early and force Philly into a pass type of situation, then you're really testing to see, okay, how accurate and how strong and what is Jalen's ability to push the ball down the field with that shoulder. The other one would be, you know, just the, you know, it's as far as the physicality of it and trying to test it early and see, okay, are we going to be able to have that same type of game? You know, are we going to be able to stack 6, 7, 8 in the box to stop the run? And by doing that, and you're saying, okay, we're going to try and match you guys one-on-one, maybe a little safety help over the top with either Devontae or AJ. But, if you stack the box, it's like, okay, well, you know, now you're like running into a brick wall. So you can force it by stacking the box and trying to stop the run that way. Or if you're able to get a lead early, there's two different ways, which will kind of force their hand to make them throw more. I know Philly's going to come out. I mean, you can look at all their games. That's what they want to do. They want to run the football. And then, as you said, it's kind of that RPO stuff off of reading it and get the quick throws and dumps and that kind of thing. But they do want to push it up the field as well.
Yeah, and they have that ability, but it all sets up from the run, right? That's what made them kind of one-dimensional last year, was when they had to start playing from behind and when they have to get away from the run, even though Jalen Hurts threw for 387 yards and two touchdowns. A lot of it was, you know, 20-20, and then they would bog down. They weren't able to really pound the running game. Is that, you know, the Chiefs have been much better this year against the run. Do you believe in the Eagles passing a game enough that if it does become a shootout, or if the Eagles have to play from behind, that they can get enough done just throwing the ball, or do the Eagles have to be balanced?
Well, I think they're a better team when they're balanced.
Aren't we all?
It made my job a lot easier if the running game was going, because I knew we could play action, and you know, you could really just kind of pick your targets at that point in time. So, you know, they obviously want to have some balance. AJ's unique. I mean, they've got two ones. They've got 2-1 receivers as their receivers. I like Devontae a lot. I think he's got a speed. He has a whole different dimension. He's good in the middle of the field. Their tight end, you know, been effective and put up some good numbers. I think it's interesting how, you know, Miles Sanders, their running back, you know, his first year in the league 4 years ago, he caught 50 catches. He had 50 receptions for, I want to say, 400 or 500 yards, maybe even more than that. And then this year he only had 20 catches for like 79 yards. And it was like they kind of evolved his role and what they're asking him to do, not as much as kind of a mixed down, third down kind of back guy, to be more of a, hey, we want you running downhill and we'll worry about the passing game. So they've got some confidence in that. It's just, I don't think that's what they want to do, but can they do it remains to be seen, because we haven't seen that since before, you know, Jalen hurt his shoulder. He hasn't had to do that. It's been since before the shoulder injury that he's really put up those types of numbers and pushed the ball and pushed it upfield on a consistent basis with the way that you're talking about.
How much concern do you have about the Chiefs' offensive line, the tackles? You know, you mentioned the things that they can do. I'd love to see some slant passes to try to, maybe some quick cuts at the line of scrimmage and not get the defensive lineman thinking about their legs by just trying to chop them down and get a quick slant coming across the middle to maybe slow them down. How big of a worry to you is the offensive line?
I worry more about the edges. I really like the interior three, Smith, Humphrey and Tooney. Brown has done a good job most of his time here in Kansas City. But he has his deficiencies as well. I can't recall very many times where he chopped. I'm trying to think about him, like with chop blocks and quick throws like that. That's generally not a thing I've seen him do a lot. So, I don't know how much of that is just, you know, maybe he can push the guy up the field and you try and throw that slant inside of him. And then Wiley, I mean, this isn't a knock on Wiley, and it's, I mean, guys have their deficiencies and they have their strengths but I do think, you know, I don't know if I want him one-on-one all day with Reddick.
Right.
I just think that's a, you know, you look at what they did, what was it, McGlinchey that he went up against? I mean, so you're going to have to change things up a little bit there. I don't think like all day long one-on-one is works in the Chiefs' favor.
Yeah, no, to me, they're going to have to get creative, but we've seen them be creative. They were very creative against the Niners.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like we're like, oh, God, there's a loss. Can't handle that one. You know, Andy will have some tricks. There'll also be some times where he goes.
And listen, not every offensive lineman is going to be, you know, like an all pro or a pro bowler or, you know, a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's just, you've got to, I mean, every team has, you know, their strengths and weaknesses and you just find ways to, you know, to help those areas out and whatever that may be. But, I think the Chiefs can definitely win the game with the offensive line that they have. It's just, I don't know if I'd necessarily say that's, you know, like our team, we, our offensive line was our strength. I mean, that was, that was a known deal. So,
Yeah, it is different. And, but the, you know, you do some of these things, you know, the shovel pass underneath and the, and a cut block here to, and a screen pass that slows them up, right? That gives Andrew Wiley a chance to center him up and, you know, make the block. How much?
Well, the other thing is it also causes confusion, right? If you're, you know, if you say this entire game, I'm just going to do a track meet, put my hand in the ground and I'm coming off the edge. And there are some defenses that are set up that way. But after a while, you know, you get that slip screen, as you said, the shovel pass, the slip screen, the quick draws underneath, you know, it's like, okay, well, now I got to hesitate a little bit and see, you know, and you just get them second guessing and you get them tired and you get them like, okay, what am I looking for here? You know, there are ways to attack that, definitely.
Yeah. And Andy Reid will do that, and he'll give them a whole bunch of looks early on to get their head spinning a little bit. And hopefully, that little hesitation is what Andrew Wiley needs to center a guy up and be able to lock in and make the block. How much do the officials concern you? Carl Cheffers, is going to call the Super Bowl. He has become the most known official I can remember in almost 30 years of broadcasting. His name is quite known around town. How much of a concern should that be for Chiefs fans?
You know, I understand the concern, and I understand why it's a topic, and I understand why, you know, people are talking about it, and there's some of the things. I always wanted, going into the games, you would have the scouting report and you'd understand who's going to do what. And you go in, and maybe this was me being naive, but I would always go in with the benefit of the doubt, giving the officials, say, you know what? That was a bad game. I've had bad games. They had a bad game. You know, this is a new start. This is a new game, new start. So you go in with that right frame of mind. Then all you ask of them for when the game starts is consistency. Right. As a player, I want to be a consistent player. I want to be counted on in certain situations and be able to come up, you know, big in certain situations and just have that consistency. Right. And that's what coaches and players, and I think ultimately, fans want is, listen, if you're going to call that pass interference, then you need to call that pass interference. And if you're going to call that holding, then you need to call that holding. And if you're going to call that holding in the second quarter, then you better call that holding in the fourth quarter in the 2-minute drill with the game on the line, because you can't all of a sudden say, oh, well, this situation's different because of the time of the game it is than it was in the second quarter. No, it's not. It's like you've already set the parameters for how you're going to call a game and how the players need to adapt their game to the way that you're going to call it. I think we've all learned over recent years that as the playoffs have gone along, we all start in the preseason. They're calling everything, right? How many penalties are thrown in the preseason and in the first 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season? As the season progresses and as things kind of play out, I think you see the officials fine-tune what it is they're looking for and the way they want to call it and what the league office wants them to look for and what they want to call. And the players and the coaches have adjusted what they're doing schematically based on the way the games are being called. And you see that go throughout the course of the season. Now, fans get frustrated when there's inconsistencies in the way that games are being called, in the way that certain players are called for certain penalties, certain situations are handled differently. You know, I can sit here, we could have an entire show about, you know, the final pass at the end of the half or the end of the game that you're throwing the jump ball, the Hail Mary at the end. I mean, there are so many penalties on those, but it's the way that officials call. But getting back on track here, as the penalties in the seasons have progressed, we also see a change once the postseason starts, once the playoffs starts, and the way that the games are called. Ultimately, it comes back to my original comment, and that is you go in, you are aware of who the officials are, you give them the benefit of the doubt. This is a new game, a new start. Let's start this game and see how they're going to call it. I know defensive coaches go into Super Bowls and go into playoff games. Hey, as secondary, I want you to be early on in this game. I want you to be as physical as you can be. And we're going to find out if they're going to be willing to call the bump 5 yards down the field, if they're going to be willing to call the hold, if they're willing to be called, you know, oh, my arm is looped up with his arm. And yeah, we're running side by side, but we're interlocked. Is that, are they going to call that in the first quarter? If they are, well, then we don't have to do it in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think those things are all going to be learned throughout the course of the game. And we've seen it throughout the course of the regular season and the playoffs. And, but ultimately between players, coaches, fans, we just want consistency. If you're going to do it this way, then you get in the critical moments of the game. If you're calling it that way earlier, you better call it at that point in time when everything's on the line.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Trent Green with us here in the program. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Trent, here we go. How far do your Hoosiers go in the NCAA tournament? Big win for the Hoosiers, knocking off number one for the weekend.
Huge. I still reflect back to the beatdown that KU put on my Hoosiers earlier in the season. And then they, you know, that kind of was the beginning of their, they had a little slide there for a while and dropped all the way out of the top 25. Then they got on a 5 or 6 game winning streak to then, yeah, this was huge against, you know, Zach Edey, who's probably going to be the player of the year because of the numbers he's putting up for Purdue, and the big old 7'4" center can do just about everything in the inside. So, yeah, that was a big win. I'm going to, you know, I think a good year, and I think a year that everybody, and this is going to be weird coming from a program like Indiana, but we've been down for a while. So I would think if they can get to a Sweet 16, you know, last year they made it into the tournament. I would think this year, if they can get to a Sweet 16, obviously anything past that, we would definitely take it. But I think a step in the right direction for Mike Woodson, who's in his second year as the head coach. I think if they can get to a Sweet 16, that would I think everybody at the program would be happy about the direction it was heading.
Over or under 292.5 passing yards for Patrick Mahomes? If you were going to wager on it, which side would you take?
292 passing yards
and a half for Patrick and a half. 292
and a half.
And a half. Half. Never forget the hook.
I know that half comes into play all the time. Mm-hmm. I tend to stay over that. Okay. Just because I think that's what the Chiefs do well, and I think that's going to be their best opportunity to try and win this game.
We heard Eric Bieniemy's name mentioned for head coaching jobs. Now we've heard his name mentioned a lot for offensive coordinator jobs around the league. Do you think Eric Bieniemy is back with the Chiefs in 23?
So I think it's really interesting that now he's being talked about for other offensive coordinator positions where he can be the main play caller. I'm going to say no, that he's not back, because I think in order for him to take that next step, or at least the perceive or the perception out there is in order for him to take that next step, if he doesn't get a head coaching job, which he's been through, you know, multiple interviews over the years. So I think he won't be, but I think it's going to be because he goes somewhere to be the main play caller and offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree.
That's just my guess.
Yeah, I think it's the right step for him. It's the natural next step for him in his career. All right, and finally, I'll ask you one more time, prediction on the game. What do you think? Who wins? What kind of score are you feeling?
You know, I think this is going to be an outstanding game. I think there's so many matchups that are they're so intriguing. You've got, you know, two young quarterbacks, the youngest quarterback matchup in NFL history in a Super Bowl. I think there's so many good things about this game. You've got the superstars at receivers on both teams. You've got some stars on defense at both teams. You know, I'm going to go with the Chiefs just because, you know, you go into this season and you look at all the doubters. And, hey, look at what the Broncos are doing. Look at what the Raiders have done. You know, look at the Chargers. They're ready to take that next step. It's like, you know, the Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill. And what happens is the Chiefs come out and yet, oh, they won the division again. Oh, they got number one seed again. Oh, they, you know, it's like they've only lost 3 games all season. 3 points, 4 points, and 3 points. And so I just scratch my head when I hear all these people around the country making predictions like, oh, Philly by 14. Oh, Philly by double digits. Oh, Philly. And I'm just like, have you guys not watched what the Chiefs have done this year and who they have? and the coach they have. So I think the Chiefs, just like they've done all year long, they're going to find a way to win it. It's going to be a close game, like both their playoff games have been so far. It'll be one score. Just to give you a number, I'm going to say 27-24. I think it's just going to be one of the, I think it's going to be one of those types of games that that comes down to the fourth quarter. And just as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have done so many times, they're going to find a way to win it in the end.
Trent, you're the man. He's got the Chiefs 27-24. We will see how it goes, and we will talk about it next Monday. Thanks so much for the time, buddy. Enjoy the game.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I get to be a fan and just sit back on my couch, relax, and watch the game and all the commercials and all. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Trent. Have a good week.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burns end of the hour answer. Not counting New England Patriots, what player has played in the most Super Bowls? The number is 6.
Oh, boy. Most, Haley. Mm-mm. Charles Haley, right? Mm-mm.
He has 5.
No, he has 5. Played in the
Was he a teammate of Charles Haley's?
Nope.
Okay.
Is it like Todd Lotish or
you got half it. Mike Lotish. Good job.
Mike Lotish. Yeah.
6. 4 for the Bills, 2 for the Broncos. Caught 2 rings at the end.
Okay. Mike Lotish.
Well done.
I knew his name was something in there in the most category. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, what we were playing for. Get you some Joe's on your way home tonight. Joe'sKC.com. You know what? Be a pal. Send it to somebody. You can do that as well. Anywhere in the country, you can ship Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. It's at Joe'sKC.com. Wonderful Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get you some tonight. I want to thank everybody here at Jay Rieger and Company. Remember, the official Chiefs watch party is right here at the Jay Rieger and Company Distillery. Great, great spot here in Kansas City. Casey Wolf's going to be here. The Rumble's going to be here with the drums and everything. Food and drink specials. Party starts at 4. Tickets are just $15 for the cover. You get a welcome cocktail token as well for a Jay Rieger and Company cocktail. So you're going to get part of that cover back. Get here early. They're going to open the doors at 4 o'clock. That's when they'll start seating people. So get here for your favorite seat and just to enjoy the great food. The wonderful cocktails. Happy hour Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 this week. Great menu here at Jay Rieger in all 4 locations within the complex. And, of course, they're going to be raffling off Jay Rieger merchandise and Chiefs gear as well. It's right here at one of the gems in Kansas City, the Jay Rieger & Company Distillery.